I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Oh, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy help. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Ask, and it shall be given unto thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Aren't you glad we have a God that hears all of our knocks and all of our questions and all of our petitions? And aren't you glad for this wonderful musical program? I love the old-fashioned hymns that have a message. None of this, as Dr. Norris used to say, none of this Johnny get a cat gun bigger than a rat gun, sis ba boom. A lot of that's going on in churches tonight. You better be happy that you're where you are. If you're not where you are, you ought to be where you ought to be. This is where you ought to be. Right where you are. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful turnout for God's word. And you know, there's nothing like listening to the word of God. It'll do something for you if you tune both ears in and keep your mind on what's going on. Someone said that the mind is the greatest tramp in the world. It's always here and there and everywhere. But keep it on the book, and you'll be all right. Well, I want you to open the book tonight. By the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God is thinking about tonight. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, as you're finding your place in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, I should remind you that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, fully prepared for the work. You know, God has a work for you tonight as well. It's not only the man that stands behind the pulpit, but it's the person who sits in the pew. And let me tell you this before I get into my message on some prayer. If there's going to be power in this pulpit, there must be praying in those pews. Because praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. So pray for your pastor every time he gets up here. And it is not an easy task to look at all of you for 35 to 40 minutes. So give him a break. Wear a mask. Now then, our text will be Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll read those verses after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful again for your blessings this day. We thank you for our church, for our pastor, and for the people. Thank you for those that participate in the music program, and the soul winning program, the children's program, the youth program, the outreach program, the Embrace Grace, the Bible clubs. All of these ministries are important, working together under the careful eye of our pastor, who has a heart for all of these ministries and shows it every day. Now bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name, and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Paul writes, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I've entitled this message, On Becoming a Prayer Warrior. Before I begin my message, I want to ask you some very personal questions. How is your prayer life today? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? How often do you pray? If you choose to become a prayer warrior, guess what? You'll get God in on your program. And when you get God in on your program, everything changes. He turns your troubles into triumphs. He turns your problems into possibilities. He turns your heartaches into happiness. Oh, by the way, when you work, you work. But when you pray, God works. Now, you can be a prayer warrior or a worry wart. It's up to you. But let me tell you, you cannot be both, because they are diametrically opposed. Look again at verse 6. "Don't worry about anything," is one translation. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything," not some things, but in everything, "by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." By the way, the word worry is not in God's vocabulary. I would recommend, before you exit your bedroom each morning, that you enter your prayer room. That's important. The songwriter put it this way, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ the Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray." Praying is one of the most important elements in the Christian life. There are two things that every Christian ought to be up to date on. Number one, it's talking to God. That's prayer. And number two is listening to God. That's his word. That's how he speaks to us. He's not going to come to you tonight in a vision or a dream. I've said this 1,000 times. If you have a dream or a vision tonight, it's because you're going to eat too much of that pizza before you go to bed. Now, I don't say that to be funny. It is a little bit funny. Some of you are funny, but looks don't mean everything. But the thing that really matters in your life and mine is getting in touch with God. And let God get in touch with you. And you'll be on the winning side. Someone said, 7 days without prayer make 1 week. Think about it. Make 1 week. W-E-A-K, week. Or if you want to call it W-E-E-K, that's all right too. But it makes 1 week. A Christian cannot be strong without prayer. That's where the prayer and the power comes from. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives every blessing from above. And climbs the ladder that Jacob saw. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Have you caused any trembling on the part of Satan lately? A lot of questions in this message. What are you doing about it? Are you improving on it? This matter of becoming a prayer warrior is a matter of priorities. Listen to this. May I get personal again? Just smile and take it. What in your daily schedule is more important than prayer? Think about it for a minute. On becoming a prayer warrior, you need to understand there are many prayer warriors in the Bible, but the greatest prayer warrior is Jesus Christ. I know Daniel was a great prayer warrior. Daniel 6:10 says he kneeled 3 times a day and prayed unto God and looked up. The best way to become a prayer warrior is to follow the pattern of our Lord's prayer life. I promise you, it will revolutionize your life. Notice first that Jesus prayed early in the morning. Mark 1:35, listen to it. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. In the morning, before the breaking of the day, the psalmist said in Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. The poet said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And we sailed in mighty comfort across a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were in sore distress. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with keen remorse of mind when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learned through many a troubled way, you must meet him in the morning if you want him through the day. Starting the day out right is the way to go. Before the wires of your life were lifted off the ground and you got involved 1,000 things, involve yourself with God in prayer before you do all those other things. Listen, if you start out your day without talking to the day star, your day will be filled with chaos, confusion, consternation, and conflict. You see, without prayer, your vision will be out of focus, and your moral equilibrium will be out of balance. Jesus prayed early in the morning. Secondly, Jesus prayed all night long. Now, preacher, you're not asking me or telling me that I've got to pray all night long. I don't even dream of telling you that. Some of you health problems would not permit that. You have to figure that out for yourself. All night long. Now, he did that before he made the most important decision in his ministry. Please don't miss it. The choosing of the 12 apostles. That's why he spent all night long in prayer. To get the right men. Let me make an application. I'm convinced that our pastor prayed long hours before he ever hired a staff member. He's sorry about some. No, I'm just kidding. But he prayed, I believe, many hours before God said, this is a man. This is the man. He disappeared. That's the man. That's wherever they are. I think we got one of the greatest staffs in the country. And I've been around a few places. I know whereof I speak. To have a staff like we have surrounding our pastor is one of the greatest blessings. It was one of the most difficult and trying decisions that our pastor has ever made. Who's going to serve with me? Jesus said, I need the right kind of men around me. They're going to watch me. They're going to see my miracles. They're going to pray with me. They're going to weep with me. They're going to travel with me. They're going to eat with me. I want them to be top notch. And he chose them after praying all night long. Do you know what our problem is? We act and then we pray. We should pray and then act. D.L. Moody said Christians should begin, continue, and end every day in prayer. Just think of what a difference it would make. You'd be kinder to people around you. You'd even love your enemies. Where is Victor? Is Victor around? I tell him, the only reason I love him is because Jesus said, love your enemies. I fire him every Sunday. But he comes back every week. Helps me up the stairs over there. What a good man. It sounds like a little job, but one day he'll remember that he led an old man up a few stairs that couldn't make it by himself. He'll remember that. His children will remember that. I hope you will. Our typical prayer is, Lord, bless me, my four, and no more. By the way, how long is your prayer list? How many people do you have on your prayer list? When's the last time you added somebody to your prayer list? You want to be a prayer looking like Jesus? These are good things for you to remember. Jesus prayed all night long. Luke 6:12, if you're making references. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night to God in prayer. A third prayer that Jesus prayed, he prayed in the wilderness, Luke 5:16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I cannot stress too much the importance of being alone with God. Just you and God. Jacob was alone. And Genesis 32:24 says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And God broke Jacob's will. And by the way, he's still limping. If he's alive today, he'd still be limping. Because the pre-incarnate Christ twisted his hip out of joint. Some of you know about that hip joint business and shoulder joint. Doesn't ever heal up. Oh, it may get better, but it's going to get worse. I'm really being positive for you tonight. Jacob was left alone. Jesus prayed in the wilderness alone. Just Jesus and his Father. And let me tell you, you're not going to get your prayers through, if I might put it that way, while the television is blaring, or you got a bunch of company of people in chatting, talking, laughing. No, you got to get alone with God in a quiet place. Meet him in a lonely, quiet place where he can have first attention. Wrestle with you all night long if necessary. I see then again that Jesus prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke 9, verse 29, 30, and 31. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at heaven. This says to me that Jesus' death, his crucifixion, was the subject of those who were in heaven. Because when Moses and Elijah came down, that's what they talked about. This brings up a question when we talk about Moses and Elijah. Will we know each other in heaven? I'm sure the disciples had never seen Moses or Elijah. Surely they hadn't. They didn't have pictures. Yeah, that looks like Moses. No, no. God put it in their heart. They were coming from heaven, so they knew a little when they were in heaven about this business. Someone asked Mr. Moody, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Well, he said, you know them on earth, don't you? Why, yes. Well, I think you'll have as much sense in heaven as you have on earth. But we've got a better argument than that. Well, now we see through a glass darkly. But then, I shall know, even also as I am known. What would heaven be if I couldn't know my dear mother that went on to be with the Lord at age 29, leaving six of us children at home? I was the youngest. Always been the best looking. Sometimes these women say to me, you sure look nice today. Some of them say, you look handsome. And I say, well, I can't help it. I was born that way. But Jesus, his crucifixion, his death, sacrificial, substitutionary death, was the subject of the heavenly visitors. You know, we ought to talk about Jesus once in a while to somebody. I am not ashamed. You remember? Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone. No exclusions. Jesus prayed in a certain unnamed place. Luke 11, 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. The disciples only asked Jesus to teach them one thing in 3.5 years. One thing. Not to preach, not to visit, not to give, not to tithe, not to go, not to sing. Now, all of these things are good. Don't misunderstand me. But the one thing they asked Jesus to teach them was to pray. Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. The songwriter wrote, "Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray." Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus again. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now you just figure that one out for yourself. Pray or faint. That's easy. Pray or faint. That word "ought" there suggests an obligation. You know, you and I are obligated to pray for each other. By the way, when did you last time call the pastor's name in prayer? Or one of your staff members or fellow neighbor? This thing gets personal, folks. An obligation to pray one for the other. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Wow. Stay in a mood of prayer. You may not be pronouncing words all the time, but sometimes your heart will speak louder than your mouth. Pray without ceasing. James says in 5:16, "The effectual, fervent prayer availeth much." I understand that that word "fervent" means red hot. Red hot. Now this thing of, "Dear Lord, I thank you for the day. Hope you'll keep me tonight. Thank you for all the blessings. Amen." That's not going to get much done, folks. You got to persevere in prayer. Hot, red hot prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face." Paul loved his followers. He won many of those people to Christ. Started churches that they were members of. He prayed for them night and day, he said, "that I might see your face." I see again as I look. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22 and verse 44. "And being in an agony," A-N, being in an agony, mark that word agony, I'll be back to it in a moment, "he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus was pouring out some of his life for those whom he loved and would die for. That word agony means an intense state of emotional strain and anguish. Being in an agony. Read it before you go to bed tonight. We sing, "Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer." And then we're content to spend 3 minutes talking to Jesus. That's sort of hypocritical, isn't it? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Measure it for yourself. Then I see Jesus prayed during his crucifixion on the cross. Just 10 emotion-filled words meaningful words, wonderful words. He prayed for his enemies. And here was his 10-word prayer. He was dying, remember. He had already sweat as blood that fell to the ground. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You ever think about praying for one of your enemies like that? If you've got any enemies, and I suppose we all have some. I wonder if we put these things to practice as we should and think about it. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To pray more like Jesus means you must live more like Jesus. How much like Jesus do you live? How long would it take somebody to observe your lifestyle before pegging you in one place or another, with Jesus or without Jesus? Let's stand for our prayer, please. Our Father, we are grateful for your precious word. I pray that we would apply the scriptures in our own lives tonight and tomorrow and the next day and on and on and on. Give us the strength, the wisdom, the counsel, the guidance to follow the precepts, the pattern of our Lord's life in prayer. There's some people here in this congregation tonight that no doubt have been awakened to the fact that their prayer life has come up on the short end. Help us to be sincere in our prayers. And may we pray even as Jesus prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the morning, at noonday, in the night, help us to pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, with thanksgiving. With heads still bowed. Some have already come to the altar. Maybe you feel like you should. Nobody's going to put any pressure on you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Call your name out. No. Just want to help you. So if you feel that you should spend a little bit more time in prayer, maybe you ought to come down and ask the Lord to give you grace to do it, and time to do it, and strength to do it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. All right, Pastor.